In a perfect world, the worship service would start promptly at 10:30 and end promptly at 11:59. We don't live in a perfect world. In a perfect world, the last person out of the church would always make sure the heat and light is turned off. And I was asked this morning to remind you to make the world perfect. But it isn't a perfect world, is it? We live in a sort of messed up world. But it is a world where God shows His grace often, regularly, and sometimes in surprising ways. The scripture passage we want to look at this morning is one illustration of that, as we see Israel experiencing God's grace in a world that for them was anything but perfect. Exodus chapter 16 is where we're going to be. We have gotten the Israelites out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. And the reality of a new life is beginning to sink in. And it's a reality that is not always particularly enjoyable. So Exodus chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you brought us out in this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much. And he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Father, as we open your word together, I pray that your Spirit would make it live for us, so that the voice that we hear would be your voice. I pray that I would not get in the way of anything you want to communicate this morning. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Four things that I need to know when it comes to experiencing grace in an imperfect world. That's where we're going. Okay? We live in an imperfect world, as did the Israelites. They experience grace, as do we. Four things I need to remember and keep in mind. Four things I need to know. Experiencing grace in that imperfect world. First, sometimes I don't recognize grace. That sounds like a confession, doesn't it? Well, it is. Sometimes I don't recognize grace when I see it. The Israelites didn't. God literally gave them bread, manna, on the ground, settling down with the morning dew. And what the Israelites said when they saw it was, "Wow, God, look what you did for us." Not. What they said was, "What is it? What is it?" I think I can guarantee that for most of you, there have been times in your life when you have experienced the grace of God and said something very similar to the Israelites. You've looked at it and said, "What is this? What on earth is this?" By the way, the word manna, the Israelites called it manna, we are told. Verse 31 of this chapter clarifies that for us. They called it manna. You know what that means? It means, what is it? It's the question they asked when they looked at it. Look at it. Manna, what is it? For 40 years, they're calling this stuff, what is it? Close to three years ago now, when Valerie's mom was still living up in Canada, we had her in a private pay care facility for a while. And the Canadian system is wonderful. If you live in Canada and you need a care facility, the government has a system that will actually provide that for you. However, there's this supply and demand issue. So we decided it was really time to transition Val's mom from this private pay facility, which was becoming more expensive than she could afford, and certainly more expensive than we could, into a facility that, for a large percentage of her income, would take care of her. So we jumped through the procedural hoops to get that process started. And we started jumping through those hoops right about 3 years ago right now, maybe last month. I think it was actually in September when we started. Might have been before that. It took until March before an appropriate bed became available for her. Now, when we started that process, Valerie and I decided that we were going to proactively visit every one of these facilities in Abbotsford. So we did. We contacted them, told them we wanted to take a look at what they had available. And there were some great facilities. And there were some other facilities. Yeah, there was a whole range. And we visited, I think, 6 or 7 different places. And then we drew up this list for God. Okay? This was our list for God. And we listed all the places we'd visited. And we put on the top of the list our first choice. And we started asking God for our first choice. And on down the list we went till we got to the bottom of the list. And on the bottom of the list was an old facility that looked awful would be a compliment. And it just wasn't a real nice looking place. So for 7 months we're praying for the place on the top of our list. And when we finally get the phone call in March, I look at the caller ID on the phone, and it says MSA. And before I answered the phone, I looked at Valerie and I said, "You're not going to believe who it is. It's the outfit on the bottom of the list." Our last choice. What are you going to do after 7 months? Say no? Not a whole lot of choice for us, really. Other than to accept what turned out to be God's grace to us and to Valerie's mom. We moved her in. And I have to tell you, very quickly came to realize that what had been on the bottom of our list should have been on the top. It should. The care she received there was superb. The staff, virtually no turnover. Stable, loving, caring staff that cared for Valerie's mom right up until she passed away on the operating table several months later. But we were right there with the Israelites. God gave us grace, and our initial response was, "What is that?" We were disappointed. We didn't see it for the grace that it was. Sometimes my response to God's grace is, "What is it? What on earth is it?" Instead of, "Thank you, Lord." Which brings me to the second thing I need to remember when it comes to grace in an imperfect world. Sometimes I don't appreciate grace. Even when I recognize what it is, sometimes I don't appreciate it. The problem here is not so much the what is it problem. It's more the what it isn't problem. Even after we realized that MSA was God's choice for Valerie's mother, even after we realized that this was God's grace, it took us a while to get to the point of appreciation. And I have to tell you that there are those times in my life, perhaps in yours, when I can recognize what God has provided, but I don't like it. I just don't like it. Now, is that God's problem or my problem? It's my problem. But there is this fallen, sinful streak in me that will do my best to make it God's problem. These Israelites are hungry. That's a real problem. They want food. Only the food they want is not exactly the food that God gives them. I can identify with this. Before Valerie and I got married 5.5 years ago, during my joyful single widower days, one of the staples of my diet was pizza. Now, I confess to you that I would explain this to people by telling them that pizza really, it's part of the Mediterranean diet. You know, it's Italian. Why are you laughing?
Because it's American.
I don't understand. So there were times when Valerie and I would be talking on the phone or Skyping before we got married, and she was in Canada and I was down here, and I'd say, listen, I got to go put a pizza in the oven. And Valerie would try and explain to me why it was that pizza was not food. Now, I confess there are times when I have tried to explain to her why rice is not food. The idea of a perfect meal for the Israelites was a pot of Egyptian stew. God, if you could just sort of rain down from heaven some good Egyptian stew, that'd be okay. We remember what it was like. Oh, that stuff tasted good. Wow. You salivating yet? It's okay, there's a potluck in a few minutes. We remember what it was like. Yeah, they remembered what it was like, but they had selective memory. And that's the trouble with looking backwards. Which is what they did. They remembered what it was. And the memory gets selective, and the more time passes, the more selective memory gets. We remember what we want to. We reshape those memories. Oh, that food was so good. Oh, I could use some of that Egyptian stew right now. Manna? Yeah. Now, most of you know my home denomination is the Evangelical Free Church. And my introduction to the Evangelical Free Church was an old downtown church in Los Angeles, California. During its heyday, it had been a vibrant, bustling, full building with both the ground floor and sanctuary bursting with people. When I knew it, we weren't anywhere close to enough people to fill the ground floor. People didn't go to downtown churches because there weren't a whole lot of people living downtown. But there was an older gentleman, part of that congregation. Do you remember Carl? You remember Carl. Carl remembered what it used to be like. He remembered what it used to be like. Boy, I remember when the balcony was full. Relax, Carl, it's not going to happen this week. Sometimes it gets hard to focus on the now because of our memories of the then. I wonder if there is something in your life right now that God has provided that you have not yet come to appreciate? If there is, you know what to do. You don't need me to tell you. There's a third thing I need to know about experiencing grace in an imperfect world, and that is that God's grace is always sufficient. God's grace is always sufficient. Remember the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church at Corinth, told them about a particular weakness he had. He referred to it as a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. People have speculated about just exactly what that was. But he says repeatedly, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient. One of the battles when it comes to living in the wilderness and gathering manna today, for me, and maybe for you, is that I really need to grapple with that question. Is God's grace sufficient? I know intellectually what the answer to that question is. I know the right answer. And I know that if I asked you this morning, how many of you believe that God's grace is sufficient? I'd get every hand up. I also know, because I know human nature and I know Christian nature, that the reality is that's not where some of you are living. We know the right answer. But it's hard to live it out. It's hard to live as though I am actually convinced that God's grace is sufficient for me right now in the midst of these imperfect circumstances. Valerie used to have this neighbor up in Abbotsford. Her name was Evelyn. She has since passed away. We visited her in a nursing home where she was a few years ago. And she told us a story about her and her husband. She'd made macaroni and cheese for dinner one night. His favorite meal, supposedly. And he came home, said, what's for dinner? And she said, macaroni and cheese. Expecting a response like, wonderful! And got more of a response like, again. And she looked at us, she says, you know, I used to play softball. And I was a pretty good pitcher. So I took that dish of macaroni and cheese and I threw it. And he dodged. And there's macaroni and cheese dripping down the wall. And she says, you know, we both laughed. It must have been an interesting marriage. Is there something God has provided that just isn't quite enough? 40 years they had manna. Every day when they went out to gather it, there was enough. And the day before the Sabbath, they'd gather twice as much. Whatever they gathered was enough. And if they tried to save it, it rotted. It was just enough. And it lasted as long as they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Every morning, manna. And it was enough. God's grace, my friend, is enough. It's sufficient. And finally, fourth, God's grace is always fresh. It's always fresh. Every morning. Except for the Sabbath, it was there every morning. And on the Sabbath, it lasted for 2 days instead of one. Miraculously. But it never lasted longer than that. There was never a time when the Israelites could say, well, you know what? God's grace was just right last year. When you're hungry today, last year's grace for manna doesn't work. God's grace today. One of my favorite passages of Scripture comes out of one of the darkest times in Israel's history, as the Israelites, most of them, have been led captive to Babylon. Jerusalem has been destroyed, burned. Life is terrible. And there's just not much to be done about it. A man by the name of Jeremiah, prophet of God, that was one of the left behind group, he didn't get to go to Babylon. He stayed behind in the burned out ruins of Jerusalem, where people were dying of hunger. And he wrote about that in the book of Lamentations. And in the midst of that reciting of how awful things were, come these words. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call in mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Every morning. The Israelites had 40 years to learn that. New every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Don't try and live on yesterday's grace. It may be an imperfect world, but there is grace from God. Quickly, three takeaways for you. Number one, the question, manna, what is it? It's a question that has an answer. Moses answered that question for the Israelites. You'll find his answer in verse 15 of Exodus 16. It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. The answer to the what is it question? It's God's gift to you today. It's what God has for you today. Second takeaway, following on the first, so enjoy it. God's grace was meant to be enjoyed. Grumbling gets in the way of that. it's pretty hard for joy and grumbling to coexist. The Israelites perfected grumbling. They had it down to a science. Finally, let me encourage you to remember that on your very worst day, God is still gracious. No matter how bad things may get, God is still gracious. And He still brings to you that grace. Lord, sometimes it's hard to remember that. Help us to. For our good and for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.